So we see from Romans, my friend, that man's greatest sin is not immorality or greed or cruelty, but worship. How about them apples? This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Let's look into this. This is a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news about our Heavenly Father, and the good news about His Son, Jesus Christ, how we train our faith in the fact that we have access to the Father through Jesus the Son. All right, we're looking at Romans 1, and we are stunned by what we find here, my friends. I said that man's greatest sin is not immorality, or greed, or cruelty, but worship. How do we come by that? Well, you see, the message of the book of Romans is that mankind has suppressed God. And the darkness of that, and the horrible intolerability of that, has led man to turn and worship creatures rather than the Creator. And so, the worship is the primary sin, the primary evil of all of us. You might say, well, what worship? Listen, all world religions, including Christian religion, are in flight from God, not in pursuit of Him. It is not man who is pursuing God. It is God who is pursuing man. The hound of heaven is in search of man. And we are running away. And this is why, my friend, when it comes to your struggle with one addiction or another, you have to understand that you're hiding and suppressing God, and that it is so important in the throes of addiction to open our heart up to our Heavenly Father. Now, you've heard preachers, and so have I, put so much emphasis on what these verses say about homosexuality. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error, which was their due. And people have quoted these verses as if homosexuality were the biggest sin among this catalogue of sins that Paul describes. Because he goes on and says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and on he goes with the list. But people point out, yes, but Paul spends two verses on homosexuality and only a word or two on a description of all the others. Well, this is quite wrong. And when I was a young man, with my homosexual urges and direction, I would say, I don't understand this. I'm not one of these that is hiding from God. I'm not one that is suppressing God, how can I be described in this list? I couldn't find myself here because I was pleading with God for deliverance and help. And you may be pleading with God for deliverance from alcohol or for deliverance from drugs or some other addictive habit you have or obsessive thought process. And you say, I don't understand. I'm not in this list. Ah, my friend, try to read it carefully, slowly, line by line. And the issue is this, not that God has wrath upon man for their immorality. Listen carefully now. But that God has wrath upon man for their suppression of Him. And therefore, in His loving wrath, He hands them over to immorality. In other words, you see, our distortions and perversions and woundedness of our human nature that we didn't even choose, we might say it came from our parents' abuse or the absent bonding of a father with a son, one might say that some believe that in regard to homosexuality, that these distortions of our humanity, this brokenness of our humanity, has been given and handed to us by God. Now, look, be careful, because you may be so mad at me for saying that, and you may be so mad at God for saying that. But what am I really saying? What I am saying is that the issue was our suppression. From childhood onwards, we have suppressed God. We don't know we're doing it, even. We cannot understand what God's on about. But you see, living in this world is such a natural state of suppression that God has to give us something in place of Himself to show us what darkness we are in so that we may call out for the light. There is an amazing sort of symbiotic relationship, interchange of action between God and human beings. We suppress God, and therefore we want something in place of Him, so we go around worshipping people and things and objects. And that's part of what homosexual addiction and heterosexual addiction, both addictions, I say, are: a worship of the body, a worship of human nature. And others worship money, and others worship this and that. But we suppress God, and so we go and worship these other things. But God gives us those other things, and He gives power to them. For what purpose? To damn us? No. To lead us to His mercy. And so, you see, God's judgment of sin is not to restrain it, but to allow it to succeed. God's judgment of sin is not to restrain it, but to allow it to succeed. He must let, in His sort of antagonistic cooperation with sin, He must let it succeed so that we can see that what we thought was light is actually bondage. This also helps us to understand that sin's spread, its proliferation, is not deserving of God's wrath. It is God's wrath. What I'm saying with all this, my friend, is this: that your addiction has to be looked at in a totally different way now. You don't approach this addiction as if God had abandoned you, as if God had cast you into hell. You look at this struggle, this addiction you have, as God's intimate involvement with you, in which He is revealing to you how dark it is without Him, so that you may call on Him. But you say, Colin, I've been calling on Him all the time. I don't get it. You keep telling me to call upon God and open myself. I've been asking and begging God to deliver me for years. One man said, I prayed for 5 years for deliverance from homosexuality. My friend, it is not prayers that are the significant factor, but faith. One can pray oneself into a hole. There are things like neurotic prayers and unbelieving prayers, prayers that simply reinforce our problem. Oh, God, please set me free, please set me free, please set me free. That could be quite a self-destructive prayer if God has already set you free, couldn't it? It would be like trying to get out of a room that you're not in. The point of the gospel, and I'm jumping ahead of myself at this point, is that Christ has declared us freed from the judgment of all these things. But if I don't believe that, then I will be endlessly pleading for God to set me free when He's already done the job. It doesn't mean to say that I may not struggle and fall in future, but I'm freed from its judgment. And the more that I know I'm freed from its judgment, then the less I am inclined to do the things that I have done, because it is guilt and shame that so often pulls me down. Isn't that your experience? Of course. So when you look at this list here, you are not to single out individuals as if they were under the wrath of God and you are not. And preachers particularly must not do that. Single out individual sins as if they were more under the judgment of God than others that are not. It's not that we don't single out sin. It's that we reveal that these sins are simply a symptom and an expression of our real problem, rather than the problem itself. And what is our real problem? I repeat, the suppression of the truth. Now look, my friend, just try to go through a day, an average day that you experience. And you will struggle with this and worry about that and fret about this and get angry about the other thing and get depressed over that and this. And when you look at it, you will realize that almost at none of those times did you or I open our heart up to God and say, "Oh, Father, thank you that you are here. Thank you that this problem is an opportunity for me to train my faith. Thank you that this difficulty over here has no power over me and the victory is already won. Thank you, Father, that there's no condemnation, even though this problem makes my heart sink and feel embarrassed and ashamed. But I praise you that I am in your presence, innocent and righteous in Christ." Do you see? That kind of prayer and conversation is not suppression, is it? And as you open your heart up like that to God, you will find God coming into the problem that you've been worrying about or angry about or depressed about or fretting about. And thus our Heavenly Father becomes increasingly significant to our life. Now don't you find it amazing that God wants to end our suppression so that we open our heart up to God? What a lover of our souls He is. This coming Saturday, my friend, are you scheduling the seminar, Sex and Self, Bringing the Two Together in Christ? I hope so. It's going to be a sunny day according to the forecast, so it'll be a nice time to trot over to La Quinta Inn in Lakewood on Saturday morning at 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon to have this seminar together on an enormously significant subject. You see, there are divisions in all of us, and particularly as Christians in regard to sexuality. Some people were sexually or physically or emotionally abused or neglected as children, and that has led them to, later on as they became Christians, to divide their spiritual self from their sexual self. So when they're spiritual, they're not sexual. When they're sexual, they're not spiritual. And they can't pull the two together, and it creates enormous strife in the mind and heart. It creates guilt and shame and fear. Can we bring these two together? Can we learn how to know sexual feelings and sexual responses in the presence of the Lord in an innocent and beautiful way? And then we look at some of the reasons why or how to resolve some of these issues in a larger way. Can we resolve the abuse that we went through? Can we see God in it, who was there comforting us and helping us during that terrible abuse? Can we resolve some of the hurt and anger? Yes, to some extent we can. So I urge you and welcome you to this seminar, Sex and Self, Bringing the Two Together in Christ. Saturday, the 29th of January, at La Quinta Inn. Admission is by donation, my friends, recommended $70 to $110. But if you can't afford that, bring anything you can. All donations are gladly accepted. Well, I look forward to seeing you, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.